Philippians chapter 3. So appreciate the opportunity to be with you today, and we're excited for what God is doing right here in Gillette, Wyoming. I really resonated with Pastor as he said this morning that just a few years ago for him, he had no idea that Gillette, Wyoming was on the map. And I just got to tell you, a couple months ago, I was not familiar with your church or Gillette, Wyoming too much, but I'm so thankful that God has crossed our paths. Really thankful for your pastor. What a neat connection. We were coming up here for a wedding, to be involved in a wedding of some friends that are up in this area. So I did some research. I said, I got to find a church for us to be at on Sunday. I typed in Independent Fundamental Baptist Churches in Gillette, Wyoming. This was the first one that came up, and I got on the website, and I saw the bio, and I said, I know this guy. I know this pastor. What in the world? I thought he was from Texas, and now he's up north in Gillette, Wyoming. But I just knew immediately, and then contacting your pastor, this is a meeting that is from the Lord. Only the Lord could put something like this together. And so we really, Pastor, appreciate so much the opportunity to be here and are excited for what God is doing. Philippians 3 is the text of Scripture that I mentioned just a moment ago from which our camp ministry gets our theme. And that comes from what Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 10. And it's this emphasis to help people, to help God's people to fulfill this purpose. It's the purpose that the Apostle Paul had, to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the aim of the Christian walk. That is the aim of going to what we just sang about a moment ago, to going to higher ground. It's not so that we could dress up and impress anybody. It's not so that we could earn favor or earn merit or grace from God. No, it is so that we might be made into His image, so that we could have a personal relationship with your Creator, with my Creator. What a thought that is. And in this portion of Scripture, Paul is really giving his personal testimony to this church, whom he loved, whom he was thanking for the financial contribution that they had made to his ministry. And he gives this personal testimony. I want you to take note of this as we begin reading in verse 3. Of chapter 3 and of the book of Philippians. He said, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And he jumps off that idea of having confidence in the flesh, saying this, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. In other words, if anybody could have been trusting in their flesh to earn favor with God, it was the Apostle Paul. If anybody could have been trusting in their works or in their good deeds, it was the Apostle Paul. And notice how he accounts for that in verse 5. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, in Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law. And he sums it up by saying this in the very last portion of verse 6, I was blameless. No Jew could point the finger at Paul and say, that guy's a wreck, that guy's a problem. No, he had his life together, spiritually speaking, from man's perspective. But notice what he says in verse 7, in this radical shift, this radical recognition, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for who? For Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. There's that word again. That loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered. Here it is again in verse 8, the loss of all things. And do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his being made conformable unto his death. Folks, listen, this afternoon, when the Apostle Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, everything changed. Where once he was going in this direction, pursuing religiosity, pursuing routine, pursuing good fortune and good favor with God and with his fellow Jews, in the moment when he was blinded by the light on the road and he heard the voice from heaven asking why he was persecuting his people, and Paul looks and says, who art thou, Lord? Everything changed. Paul's pursuit in that moment changed. I want to ask you a question this afternoon. What or who are you pursuing? Isn't it true that in life we could be pursuing a lot of different things? I don't know what you enjoy pursuing, but I enjoy pursuing something like sports. Any other sports fans out there? All right, I'm a big Kansas City Chiefs fan, and so it's a good time to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan, I gotta say. All right? Some say it's the refs that are winning the game, but you know what? We'll take it, all right? It's a blessing. I love to pursue sports. People love to pursue sports. What do you do when you pursue something like a sport? Well, by practical illustration, I love to talk about sports. I love to wear the sports paraphernalia. I love to defend my sports team. When somebody says it's just the refs that are winning the Chiefs games, oh, that's going to be a problem for me, all right? I got to talk back to you and say, no, not really. It's Pat Mahomes. It's the good players we have. What else do we do when we pursue something? We think about it. We meditate on it. We love it. It consumes us. I pursue sports. What are you pursuing this morning? Maybe it's something like hunting, and you love to think about hunting, and you love to talk about hunting, and you love to go hunting, and you love to have all the paraphernalia for hunting. There are so many things in this life that we could pursue, but here for the Apostle Paul was his pursuit. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he says in verse 10, the knowledge of him. This knowledge mentions in verse 10 that I may know him, and that he mentions in verse 8, he counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. It's so, so important that we understand this afternoon that this knowledge is not just some intellectual property that the Apostle Paul had about the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know today that there are a lot of people that have the intellectual knowledge of who Jesus is and what he did, right? I mean, you could go knock on 100 doors in Gillette, Wyoming and ask people, do you know Jesus Christ? And they would say, well, yeah, of course I know him. That's the man, the prophet, the healer that went to an old rugged cross. He died, he was buried, and the Bible says he rose again. People know the facts about the Lord Jesus Christ. But isn't it true? Not a lot of people know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this knowledge is not just intellectual, it is experiential. That is, it changes the way that we live. And by the way, your salvation ought to, and according to the scriptures, will change the way that you live. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. The Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so for the Apostle Paul, this pursuit of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, intellectually, but more so experientially, living it out, obeying the commands of Scripture, obeying the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the Apostle Paul's pursuit. And I just want to say to you this afternoon, Christian, that must be our pursuit as well. This means if we're pursuing anything else in life above this pursuit, above the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, we are in idolatry. We are serving the flesh. We are serving the lust of the flesh. We are serving the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the love of this world. So it's really important this afternoon as we look at this simple phrase in verse 10, that I may know him. We honestly and humbly examine our lives and ask ourselves, okay, I might say my pursuit is the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but as I looked back over the last week, over the last month, over the last year, what is it that I find myself pursuing? Notice that in this text, the Apostle Paul, first of all, made this a personal pursuit. Number one, a personal pursuit. You notice in verse 10 that he does not say, that you heathen Philippian church, would you guys please start knowing the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, I really wish. Pray, folks, pray that Timothy and Titus would really start to know Jesus Christ. No, he says that, what's the next word? I. That I may know him. You see, for the Apostle Paul, this had to become a personal pursuit for himself. He couldn't ride on the coattails of some other preacher, of some other Christian. He couldn't rely on the experience or the knowledge of somebody else. This, for the Apostle Paul, had to be something that he wanted, that he pursued personally. And may I just say to you this afternoon, the same could be said of each one of us. This pursuit, this knowing of the Lord, it's great that your pastor wants to know the Lord. It's great that your spouse wants to know the Lord. It's great that others around you want to know the Lord. But I'm not asking, do they want to know the Lord this afternoon? I'm asking you today, do you want to know the Lord? Is this a pursuit that characterizes your life as an individual? Is this something for you that is personal? At the Christian camp, this is of great importance and great emphasis to us because isn't it true that there are a lot of teenagers in the world but relying on their parents' knowledge of the Lord, on their youth pastor's relationship with God, and they're just hoping, well, someday something will just click, everything will change, and then I'll start knowing the Lord. And I always tell the teenagers, no, now is the time to know the Lord. Remember your Creator now, Ecclesiastes says, in the days of your youth. Oh, but Christian, who is not a teenager, okay? This has to be a personal pursuit for you as well. There's so many Christians in the United States of America in the easy, comfortable Christian culture that we have, who love to go to church, who love to carry the Bible, who love to dress up, and we love to feel good about ourselves. And isn't it true? We can come to church service after church service after church service after church service and play the part. And all the while, be like Pharisees, like the whitewashed tombs, who on the outside we make a great show of things. We may even say the loudest amen, but inside we are full of dead men's bones, as Jesus said. Is this pursuit, this knowledge of Jesus Christ, personal to you? Not only was this a personal pursuit for Paul, but I want you to note, second of all, that this was, for the Apostle Paul, and it must be for us, a perpetual pursuit. A perpetual pursuit. He says here in verse 10 that there's the personal nature of this pursuit. It's got to be a personal choice. It was for the Apostle Paul. He says that I may know him. This verb, to know, is a really interesting construction in the original language. You know as well as I do, and I don't want this to be a grammar lesson, all right? We're not in school, but we all know what a past, present, and future tense verb are, right? I went to the store, past tense, right? I am going to the store, present tense. I will go to the store in the future tense. What this construction is here in verse 10 of chapter 3 in the book of Philippians, this word to know, what Paul does is he takes the past tense, the present tense, and the future tense, and it's really combined into one to help us to see that this knowing is not just something that Paul wanted in the past. It's not just something that Paul wanted in the future. And it wasn't even just something that Paul wanted in the future or the present. It was something that he wanted his whole life to be consumed with. That is, that Paul could look back on his life and say, I have known Christ. Today, in this moment, on February 2nd, 2025, by God's grace, we are knowing Christ. And for time and time and to the future and eternity, we want to know Christ. It's perpetual. It's repetitive. It's ongoing. And I recognize this afternoon that I am looking at some individuals here who have this type of testimony, this type of perpetual pursuit of the Lord for many, many, many years. Some of you maybe have been saved for 30, 40, 50, maybe even 60 years, and this has been your pursuit, to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to say, from the youngest in here to the oldest, every day this has got to be our pursuit, to know Jesus Christ. You know, there are a lot of things in life that we do perpetually, aren't there? A lot of things that we do repetitively. I don't know about you, but I am thankful that we eat perpetually. Can I get an amen right there, right? I love to eat. We had a great lunch today, and I'm already excited about dinner. And I'm already thinking about what we're going to do for lunch tomorrow. What am I going to have for dinner tomorrow night? It's wonderful that three times a day, maybe four or five, all right, depending on your schedule or your routine, we eat every single day. I'm also thankful that we sleep every day. How many of you are thankful for that? What a blessing. Woke up this morning feeling good, and tonight I'm going to go back to bed, and tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up again. We need sleep, right? How many of you are thankful this afternoon that we breathe perpetually? Amen. If you're not breathing perpetually right now, I want to invite you to slip from your seat, head to the back, and we're going to call an ambulance, all right? This is really important for you to breathe perpetually. Listen, in all three of those silly illustrations, notice that these things that we do perpetually are life-giving. They are life-sustaining. You take away your breath. You take away your food. You take away your rest. And eventually, you're going to expire. You're going to die. Because those are the things that you need more than anything else. And may I just say, for the Christian, a pursuit of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is life-giving. It is life-sustaining. The devil can yield us ineffective if this is not our perpetual pursuit to know Jesus Christ. And the question is, how do we do that? It's found right here in his wonderful, wonderful word. Many people want to know Christ, and they want to see him in a vision, and they want to see him in a dream, but they're not willing to go through the process of study and meditation and memorization and the prayer of the scripture in their life. Folks, there is no knowledge of Jesus Christ apart from the wonderful Word of God. So don't think you're ever going to achieve this type of knowledge apart from this book. Oh, make this book a perpetual part of your day. This is where life comes from for the believer. This is life-giving. It is life-sustaining. But for the Apostle Paul, it was a personal pursuit. It was a perpetual pursuit. And then notice, finally, in verse 10, it was a purposeful pursuit. A purposeful pursuit. This is so, so important, but so many people go wrong right here. They think that the knowing is all about feeling good about themselves. They think it's about being accepted in the culture. They think it's all about playing the part, dressing the part. I'm going through this religious routine, these religious exercises where I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday night. I'm in my place, but what's the point? What's the point? The pastor even asked us this morning in his sermon as well. All is vain, we sang this morning, unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. The aim, listen very carefully, the aim of the Christian life is Christ. It is the knowledge of Christ, not just facts about Him, but conformity to Him. Because you notice how he outlines in verse 10 this conformity, that I may know, here's the purpose, Him. It's not so that we could look at ourselves and go, wow, I'm really religious. Wow, I'm really got my life together. I'm really doing okay. People think I'm a good person. No, it is that we would know, have a personal and intimate experiential relationship with the Christ who died for you. And the Apostle Paul expounds on that in verse 10, and he says he wanted to know the power of his resurrection. It's this strong power. Think of that might, that ability, that power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Paul says, I want to know that power. If you were to read verses like what we find in Romans chapter 6, you're going to understand that this power that the Apostle Paul is talking about in Philippians 3 is a power in dealing with our sin. You remember in that text, the Apostle Paul says that we are buried in the likeness of his death and we are raised to walk in what? Newness of life. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that is available to you and to me as believers, as God's people, to overcome sin in our life. Oh, Christian, don't live defeated. Don't live in defeat. Live in victory, not through your strength, not through some pastor's strength, but through the strength that is from the Lord Jesus Christ, the same strength that was made available to raise Christ from the dead. Paul wanted to know the power of his resurrection. And isn't it true? We could all say amen to that. We need that power, right? But hold on, look what he says next in verse 10. The fellowship of his sufferings. Paul wanted to experience not just the power and the victory over sin by the power of the resurrection, but he wanted to experience the fellowship of Christ's suffering. Think of where Paul was even writing this letter from. He was in where? In jail. Being persecuted, mocked, abandoned, incarcerated, literally for his faith. Paul says, in that type of suffering, I want to know a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I want to identify myself through my sufferings, through the persecution. I want to identify myself with Christ because, of course, no person, no human has ever suffered more than the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered for you and for me. Not only did he bear the weight of losing his own life, but he bore the weight of your sin and my sins. And the Bible teaches us that he bore the sins of the whole world on that cross. Jesus knew something about suffering. Paul knew something about suffering. And Paul said, in all of my knowing Christ, I want to know this fellowship in those sufferings. And the truth is, many of us, most of us, have never experienced that type of suffering, that type of persecution for our faith. But could I just say to you this afternoon, that day might be coming. And when you do go through those difficulties and those trials, both now and in the future, just know that there is a fellowship that is able to take place in your knowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is part of the purpose that Paul wanted in his life. And then finally, notice in verse 10, not only did he want to know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship in his sufferings, but finally, he wanted to know all of that so that he would be made conformable unto his death. Paul wanted to know, finally this afternoon, conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. He wanted to be able to know the Lord Jesus Christ's life, not just so that he had all the facts up here, but so that every part of his life would come into conformity with the mold of Jesus Christ himself. I don't know what you think about when you think of this word conformable, but I think of what I used to do as a kid with Play-Doh. Anybody else play with Play-Doh as a kid? All right, anybody else still play with Play-Doh? No, I'm just kidding, all right. Play-Doh's awesome. You got those little yellow canisters, and many churches have these. You pull them out, and you got the green cap and the pink cap and the red cap and the yellow cap and all these different colors. And in most churches, you open them up, and it's like just one massive, nasty color of gray because all the kids just combine all the colors together. You know, it's disgusting. What do you do when you take out that Play-Doh and you put it in your hands? You begin to form it into something, right? You begin to master it, to mold it. And if you're anything like me, all you know how to make is a snake, right? You just kind of roll it out on the table like that. Can't make anything beautiful. Because some people, they'll make a home, they'll make a giraffe, they'll make an elephant out of that Play-Doh. Does that Play-Doh sit up off of that table and look at the Creator and say, hey, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be an elephant. I don't want to be a giraffe. No, what does the Play-Doh do? It is simply pliable. It is simply clay in the hand of the Creator. Folks, that should be our posture as God's people. Not resistant to change, but actually embracing change. Not rebelling against the truth and the commands of Scripture, but actually seeking to follow every command of Scripture. Seeking to live lives that match and fit with the gospel of Jesus Christ, like Paul said in Philippians 1. We ought to pray, Lord, make me more like your Son, day after day after day. There's two verses that I'll conclude with. Think of what the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 28. We know this verse well, right? All things work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. But we often, very often, leave out verse 29, for whom he, that is God, did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be, what's the next word? Conformed to the image of Christ. That is the very best for our lives. That is the greatest good. That is what Christ, that is what God is working in our lives through the difficulties, through the trials, through the sufferings, through the temptation. He is seeking to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Where in your life this afternoon are you resisting that change? Where are you throwing up in your spirit, maybe even verbally, an attitude saying, hold on, Lord, I'll give you every part but that part. No, it ought to be total conformity, daily, total surrender to God's will and not our own will. The other verse that came to mind, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in the very last verse of that chapter, I believe it's verse 21, that what we are beholding, that is what we are becoming. Paul said there that we are looking, though dimly in a glass, the glories of the Lord are being what? We are being changed. What you are pursuing, what are you? What you are beholding, friend, is who you are becoming. So, believers, it is so vital that this be our pursuit. Not just, man, feeling good about ourselves. Not just checking the religious checkbox, but knowing Jesus Christ. But I encourage you this afternoon to make a commitment for this week, maybe for this month, maybe for this year, maybe a renewed commitment for a day-by-day, perpetual, personal, purposeful pursuit of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this afternoon? We'll have a word of prayer and then I'll turn it back to Pastor. Thank you so much for your good attention. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, who, yes, has redeemed us from our sins, who has granted us forgiveness, but still, as your forgiven, redeemed people, wants a relationship and fellowship with us. I pray that we would take this challenge this afternoon from the life of the Apostle Paul, that we would not be stagnant, not be satisfied, not be lethargic in our Christian lives, but that we would press toward the mark, that we would strain towards this knowledge of Jesus Christ. This would be something that's personal for each one of us, something that's ongoing, that's repetitive, that tomorrow morning we wake up and we want and we pursue. And Tuesday morning we get up and we pursue. For the rest of our days, we continue to pursue this purpose, to know the Lord Jesus Christ and be made like him by your grace and for your glory. Thank you for our opportunity to look into your word this afternoon. Be with Pastor now as he comes to dismiss us. We pray in Jesus' name.